When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Consistency is everything, and stand on integrity. Like, be who you are, be who you say you are. It's been a minute. It was a slow growth, but I kind of appreciate it that way. You know, I didn't go 0 to 100. I took the stairs. I do feel a weight, and but it comes with it. You know, that extra pressure is what makes diamonds. So. But I feel like I'm built for it at the same time. So, like, if the team wins, it's a bigger win, just an individual win. If I wanted to, it's like you can play golf and win by yourself, or you can play basketball and make 12 other guys, you know, the same happiness, same success. My dad would play a lot of, like, Snoop Dogg, of course, Dr. Dre, Sugar Free, DJ Quick. Nate Dogg, those was a lot of my heavy influences as far as the West Coast.
Hey yo, this is DJ Semtex, it's the Hip Hop Raise Me podcast. Now, before we get into the big talk with Blast, he's one of the dopest artists popping right now, like, he's doing a lot of big things right now. But before we get into that, listen, we've got to talk about the Lox versus Dipset. Now, you know, in case you've been living under a rock or something, I'm sure you know about the verses that took place recently. And that's the big clash, the big battle between two artists. This time it was between the Lox and Dipset, two of the biggest crews ever in hip hop. And it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy, like, what happened, what went down. Now, you know, hip hop is built on competition. It's built on the challenge, the clash, the battle, in a good way. So whether it's from MCs going at it back in the day, whether it's DJs, or whether it's B-boys B-boying, or whether it's street art, it's always been that competitive edge. Versus takes it up to the next level and just amplifies it to, like, the biggest audience worldwide. It's been getting bigger and bigger since the start of the pandemic, the start of the lockdown. And this was definitely the biggest battle, the biggest clash, the biggest competition, whatever you want to call it, we've ever seen. It's the biggest one. Now, the Lox, you know about the Lox, was signed to Bad Boy. They were signed by P. Diddy. And he educated them to be artists. Like, he trained them up. The Lox were already raw. You know, these guys have grown up together, and, you know, they, some of the hardest lyricists ever. But when you combine that with someone like Diddy, who shows them, like, the art of being an artist, the whole thing about performing, the need to go all out and put on the best show possible, they got a different kind of training. Next level. They've been trained by one of the greatest ever. Now, Dipset, they were signed to Rockefeller, Jay-Z's label. Now, Jay-Z, you know, for me, is the greatest of all time. Is the greatest rapper in the game. Some people will say it's Eminem. Nah, man, it's not Eminem. It's Jay-Z. You would think that coming under the reign of Jay-Z, Dipset would be, you know, in a similar situation to the Lox. No. That's not the case. And that was proven in this event that happened. And basically, it was like watching, you know, one group who'd been in the army and elevated to special ops, and watching another group that were just students living that frat life for the last 10 years. It was two totally different dynamics. It was clear from the beginning. Shout out to my guy Def Jeff, because he hit me up in the DMs earlier in the week, and he was like, "Who do you think is going to take it?" And I said, "I think the Lox," but Dipset might get it on nostalgia purely because they've had some big hits and so forth. But that wasn't the case, because what happened at this battle was, it was like, it was like excellence meet not excellence. It was like lyrical greatness meets the unprepared. And it started from the beginning when the first track dropped. The Champ Is Here, you know, straight away, they had the crowd. They had the crowd straight away. And what was happening with the Lux, like, they're not, you know, they're not Drake. They're not Kanye. They're not the group that have had the big, massive commercial records. But what they did on stage was straight excellence. They performed as a tight unit, as a tight team. And that was Jadakiss, Styles P, Sheik Looch, and their DJ Technician. They worked as a unit. And you can see, like, they've been working together for years, because they could anticipate what each other was going to say. They could anticipate what the DJ was going to do. The DJ could play something knowing that the group would do this. Dipset had none of that. They didn't. It was a tragedy to see them fumble. They fumbled on stage. You know, there was points where they didn't know what they were doing. You know, with Cameron, his voice is like, you can see he's not looked out after his voice for years. You can see that he hasn't done as many shows as Jadakiss. Jadakiss's clarity, exceptional. You could hear every single word that he said throughout the 90-minute event. With Cameron, he's like, he's like, he was wheezing at some points and everything else. And Jim Jones and Jewel Santana, they were drinking Ciroc on stage. Like, it was a mess. Shambles, right? So they were never going to win. They were getting embarrassed round after round. And I think with where the Lux won as well was with the selection of tracks. Like, they were dropping freestyles and getting responses like they were big hit records. Like, they were playing freestyles that even I've never heard. And they were going off. It was mad. I think what the Lux did and what Jadakiss did perfectly was understand the art of timing. Because there was a round where Cameron played Welcome to New York City. Now, that's a banger. That's Jay-Z and Cameron on the same track. That's the New York anthem. And you're doing a versus battle at Madison Square Garden in New York, the home of hip-hop. That track got no response. And the reason why it got no response is not because the track's a banger. It's not because the crowd is hating. It's because they didn't present it the right way. See the way I just built it up? I built it up better than what they did. Like, they were just like, yeah, play the track. They played the track. And it was like, all right. But when Jadakiss counteracted that, what he did was he started talking about, he set it up nice, right? This is what I'm saying about timing and presentation. He was like, yo, I don't live in LA. I don't live in Denver. I'm from New York City. I'm from New York, the home of hip hop. This is where I'm from. And the DJ then dropped New York by Ja Rule, Fat Joe, Jadakiss. Perfect timing. Like, anyone who was listening, they got shivers down their spine, because that was a moment that it was just like, that was the moment where it was like, I think Dipset realized, shit, we fucked up. That was the moment where every single fan of rap who tried to say that, yeah, Dipset's better than the lot, Dipset's gonna, they just realized they don't know shit. Because at that moment, that showed exactly what a rap group does when they're at their best. And the way that they dropped that track, the way that that track came in, yo, Fat Joe was in the audience, gleeful. I thought he was going to cry. He was like a little kid at a Justin Bieber show, like, and he got to the front row. It's crazy. Like, seriously, it was a very, very dope moment. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, if you missed out on this greatness, it's on YouTube. The whole thing's on YouTube. I've watched it 2 or 3 times now, because it's just dope entertainment. It's just greatness. It's hip-hop at its best. And not only that, not only was Jadakiss killing it with the time and the presentation, the clarity, the teamwork and everything else, the spontaneity. Like, I think Jewel Santana or Cameron was like, oh, you got no tracks for women. You know, you don't make tracks for women. You know, like, and Jadakiss, what the hell are you talking about? And they played like 5 tracks, 5 bangers that, you know, like Ride or Die Chick and other joints that just going off. Like Jadakiss, he's done a track with Mariah Carey. Of course he does tracks for women. And I'm just like, it was that spontaneity, that ability to be able to flip what could have been a negative into an immediate positive. Again, they were just winning. They thrashed Dipset. Like Dipset, I don't know, man. I think what they didn't do in that battle, they just let their fans down, man. I think anyone who's a Dipset fan, you were disappointed. If you're a Dipset fan, I'm sorry. I just got to say it. Like, they let you down. They really, really let you down. Anyway, listen, I'm talking too much about this. Let's get into this week's guest. He's a very, very dope artist, straight out of the West Coast. He's just featured on the Nas album that recently dropped. Very, very dope album, King's Disease 2. That's another Grammy. I'm going to talk about that. But the Sunday Brunch joint, Brunch on Sunday, dope. Make sure you check it out. But let's get into this right now. This is DJ Semsex, Hip Hop Raise Me podcast. This is Blast. I'm DJ Semsex. This is the Hip Hop Raise Me podcast. Right now, I've got my guy Blast right here, right now. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Chilling, man. Just chilling. Not much.
All right. Well, listen, the reason why I wanted to connect with you is, you know, as a DJ, I've been banging out your music for the last 12, 18 months or so. And I just needed to talk to you, bro. I play your records every week. Bro, you make hits. You just like, you make records that are instantly memorable, and they got that West Coast vibe, but it's modern, and it's like, you've got a very dope fan base. Like, the real people, the real heads, the real fans of music rate what you do. They always talk about you. So I just wanted to catch up with you, bro, man, just to see what's up, what's happening.
Let's do it, man. Appreciate that.
So let's start off. Like, when did you first start, like, listening to hip hop? You know, because you're on the West Coast, and it's like you've got a mad different experience to everybody else in the rest of the US or even around the world. So, you know, what was that for you, that first moment?
My first introduction to hip hop was, I would say, my uncle and my big sister. They had a rap group early on, and I was just inspired by, like, the whole process of putting words together. So I would ask my uncle, like, how do I become a rapper? He told me, look up a word in a dictionary and tell me the definition every day. So from that point on, I just fell in love with words. But it wasn't in me at that moment to start recording. It was just something I fell in love with as a fan. And then later down the line, I ended up actually recording and falling in love with my voice.
All right. And then, you know, apart from your family, like, what was you listening to? What was the first rapper that hit you where you were like, instantly, like, I love this, man. I'm in this.
I mean, I was listening to a lot of things, but the initial, like, super fan, I was a big fan of 50 Cent early on, like, when he came out with Wangsta. So I was attracted to that era, like Get Rich or Die Trying and things like that.
Yeah, and that was a good era, man. That's like one of the best eras in hip hop. That Shady Aftermath, G Unit era.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Facts.
So what about from, like, a West Coast point of view? Like, who would you say was the biggest influence? It's some big icons from the West Coast, you know. Of course, yeah. Dr. Dre, Snoop, everybody else. But what did you connect with the most?
Yeah, so as I got a little older, like around high school, junior high, my dad would play a lot of, like, Snoop Dogg, of course, Dr. Dre, Sugar Free, DJ Quick, Nate Dogg. Those was a lot of my heavy influences as far as the West Coast.
So when did you figure out you was, you know, because you're mad talented, you rap and you sing. What came first?
Singing actually came first. I would always just be singing around the house, but I leaned towards rapping because I wasn't fully confident in my singing voice. Like, I liked it, but I just felt like I needed to go through puberty or something, like, for it to develop. So I just started rapping.
So how did you get that confidence to sing? Like,
man, I would just say over time, my voice developed to where it got fuller, to where I had that confidence, you know?
Did you rehearse? Did you practice every day?
Yeah, I would still like make singing songs, but not put them out. And then I just found a pocket. Like I don't really go too out my range. I just found that comfortable pocket that I'm okay with vibing with.
Okay. And then what do you prefer? Do you prefer to sing or do you prefer to rap? Like what?
It depends. Like sometimes I go on a phase where I'm just strictly rapping. Sometimes I go on it depends on how I'm inspired, like at the time. Right now I've been heavily singing, so whatever's been working for me, I've been on that.
All right. So I want to talk to you about the track Don't Forget, right? I was playing that on my show and I was like, I relate to this. I relate to what it's saying. But first off, like, who's the English guy at the beginning? What's going on there?
So that was, it was a random clip on Instagram. They tagged me and I was like, this is dope. I'm gonna use this clip for intro of my song. And then it just fit perfect for Don't Forget. And we just ran with it. We reached out to him, got the vocals cleared, and it was all good.
It's crazy. So when you put out that EP and you put out Don't Forget, like, was there anything you was going through at the time that led you to write that? Or was it just like just experiences throughout?
Yeah, it was just a moment of like reflection where I came from at that point and just seeing how people treat you, like once you get a somewhat of a name in the city. And I was just like, I forgive, but I don't forget, you know, like I know where I came from and I know the process of how I got here. So I know who really rocking with me and who just trying to use me, you know?
Hmm. Your phone must be ringing right now because you... because you know you got bangers, you got hits that are getting played. I mean, if they're getting played over here in the UK, they're getting played everywhere else around the world, as well as obviously in the US and everything. But it's like, what was that come up like trying to be heard or be taken seriously? Was it straightforward for you, or is it been a minute?
It's been a minute. It was a slow growth. But I kind of appreciate it that way. You know, I didn't go 0 to 100. I took the stairs, and I felt like people seeing my every step of the way kind of gave them that extra love for me to see my fails, my wins. It just grew, like my fans grew with me. So, yeah, it was like a snowball effect. Like, have you heard Blast? Have you heard Blast? And as soon as you listen to it, you feel like you heard it already. So it gave that sense of home when you first listen to my music.
I was in LA, like, must have been like 10 years ago. I ain't been there for a minute. But, you know, and I tell you how far back it was. It was before Kendrick popped off. It was before Section 80. That was, wow. Yeah. Okay. So I was out with, you know, like, this was the time of blogs. And, you know, Kendrick was putting out EPs and I was in LA. I was like, yo, let's hook up. And it's like, sure. And he came and picked me up from the hotel. We went to their studio. J-Rock was there. Top Dog was there. And it was a real crazy time because
yeah.
I was like, these guys are dope. You know, so English guys come over to LA, connect. Of course we're going to do that. And Kendrick, he took me around Compton and everything. And it was a time when he was like, let me get this right. I don't want to get taken out of context. But he was frustrated that, like, Dr. Dre, he hadn't caught his attention yet. He felt like he'd been doing the work and he was like a little, you know, he was getting like a little restless about it. And then it's fascinating, like 6 months later, yeah, Kendrick with Aftermath. You know, it was like, it's really weird. I don't know if that was some talking it into, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy and all of that, but, and then it just went different. So, I mean, what is it like for yourself? Because, you know, you're saying with the Don't Forget track, like, yo, you must be getting hella calls right now.
Yeah, man. I'm just, you know, it's all new to me. Like, imagine, like, because I've been doing music for like 10 plus years now. So 10 plus years of doing music, nobody really knowing me. Of course, people around my city. And then I get to a point where I drop a project, and now it's like everybody's starting to know me. So it's like an instant switch for me to everybody else is overnight. But for me, it's like I've been doing this. So that's I know my grind. I know what I did to get here. So I can only be real with myself. Like, I forgive, but I don't forget, you know?
So it's a little bit of a common theme. It feels like it takes 10 years to get put on, or to get your moment, or to get that attention. What did it feel like when you got that, when the project dropped and it started to connect?
It was two things. One thing, I felt like about time, of course, but another thing is just reassurance that I'm on the right path. Like, the 10,000 hours, you can't cheat it. You can't cheat it. You got to go through the highs and lows. You know, there's no way around it. And I just appreciate that I took the stairs over the elevator, because now I'm reaping the benefits of putting in the groundwork.
Do you ever wonder how celebrities order food? Like, is Sarah Paulson a Diet Coke or a regular Coke girlie?
Some peasant Coke? No.
Or how does Sofia Vergara order a pizza?
No tomatoes. I cannot eat tomatoes.
Are you killed mushrooms?
Not really.
Okay. If these are the details you need, and I know you do, I have the podcast for you. I'm Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and on my podcast, Dinner's on Me, I take some notable friends of mine out to dinners in Los Angeles and New York City. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
That thing was delicious.
You know what I love about your come up? It wasn't forced down my throat. It wasn't like flooding my inbox. It wasn't, you know, I wasn't bullied into listening to your music. It was like, I discovered it. Your name kept popping up. I kept seeing the tracks. I was like, kept downloading. I just played it on my show. I didn't know who you were. I didn't need no cosign or anything like that. It was just the merit of creative purity. That's the dopest thing, right?
That shit is crazy. Yeah, and I like how you said no cosign. Like, all groundwork, just me and my team just staying consistent and just not forcing it, you know, like you said. And the organic love has been the weight of my career, for sure.
So you've got your project that's out already, No Love Lost. You know, that's been tearing up the streets, clubs and everything else. Had we not been in lockdown, I think it would have done way more, like if we was all outside. But it's all right, we're all gonna catch up. We all suffer, we're all gonna catch up. So with this project, Six Tape 2, like, how did that come about?
So yeah, me and Bino, we initially dropped Six Tape Part 1, I would say 2 years ago. And the success of it was unexpected. Like, this was just like an idea that we put together. It was like, let's just put it out, see what it do. But the organic love that it got in the city was like, man, we got to double back with Part 2 and make it more intentional, make sure we cultivate the sound the right way. And yeah, we just want to be the new face of the West Coast and represent the city in the right way.
I think you're doing it, bro. Like, I love the West. We all love the West Coast. You know, the whole Death Row era, the whole Aftermath era and everything else. It's like, do you feel the weight on your shoulders to, like, build something of that kind of magnitude to come through? Or are you just cool just doing you?
I do feel the weight. And but it comes with it, you know? That extra pressure is what makes diamonds. So, but I feel like I'm built for it at the same time, so. I love it. I love that pressure because it only makes me want to make the best quality work. And I'm sure it's the same for Bino as well.
What made you want to put out, like, Six Tape 2 rather than jump in and do another album? Like, just a straight up blast album?
Because I'm more into how can I make it bigger than just myself? Like, I want to put other people on for my city and spread the light. Spread the light, because there's so many talented people in LA, and me being a producer as well, I want to tap into that world where I'm able to cultivate other artists, produce albums for them, like a Pharrell, like a Kanye West, like a Dr. Dre, And Bino is the perfect example of that. Like we cultivated a sound together, and now we pushing it.
That's dope. That's dope. I mean, those are some icons you named right there, like Dr. Dre, Kanye West, Pharrell. Like, you know, what as a producer and as an artist, what have you learned from those guys? What have you taken from those guys?
The biggest thing I would say is just taking the pride out of it, the selfishness, like learning how to pass the ball and play position. Like, if the team wins, it's a bigger win than just an individual win. If I wanted to, it's like you can play golf and win by yourself, or you can play basketball and make 12 other guys, you know, the same happiness, same success. So that's kind of how I look at it. How can I make it more impactful? I can go make another solo album any day, but I want my career to be impactful to others as well.
So you're building that legacy.
Exactly, that legacy.
That's dope. I'm a big fan of Kanye West, all right? And from your perspective, what would you say is the best album that he's done? Because, you know, as a producer and as a rapper, he's the greatest, as far as, you know, sorry. Yeah. I just think he's the greatest. But from your perspective, like, what would you say his greatest album is?
Well, I have two favorite Kanye West albums. One for my personal reasons, and then two, the other one's because it's just a dope album. So the first one is Graduation, because that's the album me and my mom really used to bond to, just listening to it together. And she's not a big hip hop head, so like that was our way of bonding, the Graduation album. The other one would be The Life of Pablo, just the production and how he took like the church aspect with it. It just sounded big, like the music sound bigger.
Yo, it's crazy you're saying your mom was into Graduation. That's mind blowing.
Yeah.
That's dope. What would you say is the best track off that?
Off what, Graduation?
Yeah.
My favorite one would be Champion. Did you realize that you was a champion? Yeah. She was hard.
Yeah. It's a timeless album.
Facts.
It's a timeless album. So when you're making music, do you kind of like envision the end result? Are you just like just making something in the moment, or are you looking at it like each track, like this is gonna do this, this is gonna do that, this is gonna do this, we're gonna take it here, we're gonna take it there, whatever?
I try not to overthink it for the most part. Like I just try to go with my vibe at the in the moment. But when I'm approaching, like if I have a title for a project, I try to be intentional with the direction of the topic that I'm speaking on. But for the most part, if I'm just creating, I'm just going with how I feel at the moment.
Did you think like Perfect Timing, Overrated, Chosen would do what they've done?
Absolutely not, man. It's crazy.
Wow. So what happens when each of those is ringing off? Is it just like, oh shit, another one? Like, oh, like...
Yeah, I mean, I felt good about Overrated when I made it, but I was still in my one-bedroom apartment just making music like anybody else, you know? So to see how people react to it, it just gave me that extra motivation. But, I'm grateful for it. I don't look at it as like, oh, here go another one. I don't know, man. It is crazy, though.
All right, so... We just spoke about Don't Forget, how you took the vocals from an English guy, put it at the beginning of the track. I'm hearing like you've done a collab with UK art. I can't say who it is. There's a UK act that you've done a collab with. Yeah. Like, yo, they're big, man.
Word.
It's like when I found out, I was like, really? I was like, okay. Like, are you feeling what's happening out here? Have you paid attention to anything music wise?
I'm not. I gotta tap in because the way the reception has been, I did a couple UK interviews and they speaking like I'm really, you know, getting some type of clout out there. So I got to check it out.
Bro, you got clout out here, bro.
Wow.
You've got the streets.
That's crazy.
Like you have, like the minute you come out here, that first show is going to sell out.
Man.
Like festivals, you're gonna have main stage, everything. All I'm deadly serious.
Wow, like that's big.
You know,
that's big.
Yeah. So you working with UK artists, that's only, bro. That's Drake clocked it. Like yeah. You work with the UK artist community and you're sincere with it, and you get fans for life.
Yeah.
Like Drake's like a UK citizen out here. He's shown so much love. Thanks. Like, you know, he should have a passport. He should have a UK passport. But for yourself, from this collab that you've got, yo, bro,
I'm excited.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, just do more. Just tap in and do more. Tap in and just work with as many artists as possible. It's just gonna increase your legacy and what you do. But there's a lot of love for you out here. You know.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I'm gonna take heed to that for sure. I gotta do my research and really become more of a fan of like the other artists out there, because I got a couple people on my radar that I've been listening to, and I got some right. with. But yeah, I gotta dig deeper.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, you know, Sixtape 2, it's on the way. What else could we look forward to, like, for the rest of the year, you know?
Yeah, for the rest of the year. So I'm getting ready for my first tour. Of course, it's going to be in the U.S., unfortunately. I plan on coming overseas, like, top of next year. But and I'm also working on my solo body of work, my next project, slowly but surely. But I want to release that in, like, fourth quarter.
Okay. Yo, you know what's real surprising? You're signed to Red Bull Records, right? And I know, you know, Red Bull, they've done a lot for music over the years. I've done shows for them out here in the UK and everything else. But yo, how did you end up on there? Like, you know, you're in LA, like, you're popping, like, it doesn't look like the obvious thing to do, but whatever you guys are doing is working.
Yeah, it was natural. Like, around the time I started getting noticed around the city, actually, one of my A&Rs went to my high school, so he just brought me in for a meeting one time, and it just felt like home. You know, they got a small roster, underdog mentality, and we just got a point to prove. So that's the type of energy that I like to work with, just like trying to force good music, like not force good music, but just trying to stand on good music and just push it organically. And they understood my vision.
And given your come up, and how organic it is, how pure it is, how real and how successful it is, what advice would you give to anybody coming through, any other artists coming through and they've not figured it out yet?
Consistency is everything. And stand on integrity, like be who you are, be who you say you are. Don't try to be somebody else. And I think consistency is the most important, because this is a what's next game. You know, you always in a light of like what you gonna do next. So always keep that consistency for sure.
Okay, all right. Well, look, listen, man. Thanks for taking the time out to do this, innit? Like, appreciate it. I'm gonna be blazing Sixtape 2. I'm gonna be blazing everything else that you're putting out. So just keep coming back to the UK though. Like, as soon as like the borders are straight and this COVID shit's out of here, yeah, just make sure you come as much as often. Yeah. And we'll connect when you're out here.
Absolutely, man. I owe you that. Appreciate your energy. Thank you for sharing your platform, dog. It was good.
All right. Cool, man.
All right, bro. Appreciate you.
All right. Yo, it's DJ Semsex, the Hip Hop Raise Me podcast. Want to give a big shout to Blast and his team for taking the time out to do that. Legendary artist. He's got some amazing things lined up for 2021 and beyond. He's going to be around for a long time. Now, make sure you check out the Hip Hop Raise Me podcast. Yo, we've got loads of episodes, man. Previous guests include Chuck D, Busta Rhymes, French Montana, we've had Getz from the UK, Slow Tie. Yo, taking it back to New York, we've had 5-Year Foreign, Pusheisty from the South. We've got Pusheisty before he went away. Make sure you check that out. Every week, we've got someone else passing through. Some amazing episodes. And you know what? Next week, we've got SG. Very, very dope artist from the South. And
aside from that episode of the Hip Hop Raised Me podcast, listen, I'm looking forward to this Kanye West album whenever it's going to drop. Now, Donda, it's been delayed again. You know, I stayed up all night for the first listening party. I watched it. Crazy, crazy experience. The fact that someone can sell 42,000 tickets just to preview an album and walk around in a venue like with a mask on, I says it all about Kanye West. It says everything about his ability to cause excitement, you know, ultimate entertainer, but also take art to that next level. 42,000 people and millions of people around the world watch Kanye play an album. It redefined the meaning of an album playback, and the music was incredible. Like, I was making announcements, right? Yeah. Listen to my show, Kanye West album. I'm going to be playing it in full. That was 2 weeks ago. It's still not dropped. And then he did another playback. And the other playback, he totally switched it up again. What people didn't clock is that the album was totally different. He remade all of the tracks and added like 20 more features. So he's definitely one of the most prolific artists of our generation. He's one of the greatest artists you're going to ever bear witness to. I'm an unapologetic Kanye West stan, so I might be, you know, excuse me, I might be getting carried away. But I need the album to drop. You know, it went back to like August the 6th. August the 6th came and went, and then we see on Apple Music that it's coming out August the 9th. Then we see that it changed from August the 9th to August the 13th to August the 15th. I kind of don't care when it drops. I just want to listen to it. This is going to be one of the greatest albums of the year. Now, when we talk about, you know, the Grammys and who's going to get what for 2022, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard because think about it. J. Cole has already made Album of the Year. Tyler, the Creator, album's incredible. You know, that Album of the Year. Dave, you know about Dave from the UK. Album of the Year. He could be getting a Grammy. So you got those three albums, and then you got Kanye's masterpiece that is about to drop whenever it drops. But also, we've got other albums on the way as well. So we got Drake, Certified Lover Boy. You know Drake's got something lined up. You know he's going to come with like the biggest collaborations, club monsters you're going to hear years from now. I need a Kendrick Lamar album. I need Kendrick. Like Kendrick, we needed an album from Kendrick last year. Kendrick Lamar in the same year as Drake, J. Cole, Tyler, the Creator, Dave. We're not even talking about Travis Scott yet. Come on, man. Look what Travis Scott did with Astroworld. What do you think he's going to do with Utopia, the next album? What do you think he's planning? Now, when Kanye was recording the album last week in Atlanta at the Mercedes Stadium, Travis was there. One of my informers told me that Travis turned up for a day and he was working on the album for a day. And then he went straight back to wherever he was going to focus on his album. Yo, Travis is going to come with it. Seriously, he's going to come with it. So who do you think is going to have the Album of the Year? Who do you think is going to clean up at the Grammys in 2022? Let me know. Just hit me up on the tweets. Hit me up on Instagram. Like Travis Scott, Kendrick, Drake, J. Cole, Tyler, the Creator, Dave, Kanye West. Yo, it's a great year for hip hop, man. It's a great year for music. I love this. I love all of it. But let me know who you're feeling. Let me know who you think is going to have that definitive album of the year, regardless of genre. I don't care about that rock shit. I don't care about any of that other shit. For me, the album of the year is always going to be a hip hop album. So what do you think is going to be? Hit me up. Let me know. Get involved and then tap in next week for another episode of the Hip Hop Raised Me podcast.